Welcome to the Burn Brightly podcast, a podcast for women who were born to burn bright without burning out. I'm your host, Hannah Austin. I'm an ex-corporate workaholic, and I learned to slow the burn and find balance. If you're ready to feel inspired and beat burnout and create that spark in your life again, these episodes will help you keep your flame alive. Let's dive in. Well, thank you guys so much for being here today on the Burn Brightly podcast. I have been anxiously awaiting this discussion, and I know how our listeners have been as well. Miriam, Jackie, thank you so much for being here. I want to just dive right in because this is such an important topic, and you guys are doing such incredible and amazing things in the community to combat burnout and overall wellness and the wellness initiatives that you're doing. So why don't we start a little bit with just kind of introduce yourself, your title, and what you're doing, and why the topic of burnout is so near and dear to your heart, and why it's something that you're championing from the inside out. So let's start with you, Jackie. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why this topic is important to you and what you're doing right now.
All right. Thanks for having us. I'm an actuary by background. I have been working on health and employee benefits throughout my career in different roles. But basically, what I do now is I help healthcare and well-being solutions that are targeting employees to develop their products in a way that's meaningful for employers, that's measurable, and also address the needs of employers.
That's so important. I know in my role as a manager and leader, you know, it's aligning leadership with the actual benefit piece, and then also sharing that with the employees and managers to understand what are our actual wellness benefits. It's not just EAP. How do you actually utilize them? And is there literacy around those benefits? And then working upstream, I know you and I've talked online a little bit about how do you craft those to be part of this generation, right? The old benefits are no longer working. How do we move forward into the future? So thank you. Great, great work. Miriam, you and I have worked together for the last couple years on our burnout journeys. Talk to me a little bit about what you're doing now and your role and why you're so passionate about this important topic and how you've pivoted, because that's been a really big piece of we were burnout sisters and now you've pivoted a little bit to kind of overall wellness. So talk to me a little bit about what you're doing to champion this amazing, amazing work.
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here with you. And yes, we have been sisters, almost sisters for 2 years in the world of burnout. And to be sincere, I want to remove myself from the burnout world. I started my journey into burnout, into the world of burnout, writing a book full of, you know, fury and kind of elegant tantrum, as I used to call it, against the healthcare system and the mental health situation in our country. And through my journey writing the book and my own path to healing, what I discovered is that I cannot or I should not allow myself to be a victim of what burnout is. I should not focus on burnout. I should focus in how to improve my mental and physical well-being, how to increase my emotional intelligence so I can achieve well-being and a better quality of life. So my book changed from a complete book of burnout to one chapter of burnout and 20 other chapters of positive things. And that's what I am trying to share with others, that it's possible, that we need to move from the negative to the positive and see this as an opportunity and see this with hope.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What is the distinction between burnout and moral injury? I know you and I've talked a lot about this. We want to move away from burnout because it is seen in a kind of a negative connotation, but that's just one piece of someone's journey. To your point, it's all about wellness and how you heal, right? It's that rising from the phoenix, ashes story. So let's focus a little bit about what is moral injury as opposed to burnout. And everyone's asking, is burnout a disorder? Is it a disease? We've heard these rumors about now it's an official diagnosis. Tell us the real deal so that we know exactly what we're talking about.
So burnout as a term was created decades ago in the 70s. It was already something, right, that we were talking about. And this was just a word to describe that you were fatigued and tired and not motivated and performing below average at your work. And this was only related to work, absolutely nothing else than work. With time, burnout was transforming a term that could be applied to other things. And you can right now talk about parental burnout, entrepreneurship burnout. So at some point, we know more about it, which is great, but at the same time, I believe that has been not necessarily appropriately used and has been in many cases confused or diluted to the point that, okay, is this really a condition? Is this something really negative and something that is making you sick? Or this is just a stress, you know, beyond what makes you comfortable. And that introduction allows me to explain the difference, right? So you can have acute stress, and acute stress is positive, helps you to perform. It's also a mechanism to defend yourself if something wrong is happening. When this stress is chronic and persistent, will increase in your body cortisol, which is a negative hormone that will cause negative outcomes. And that means depression, anxiety, insomnia, right, in the mental health area, but also cardiovascular disease, obesity, diabetes, and even cancer, and therefore mortality because of the disease per se, or because of even suicide, right, dying by suicide. So that's kind of how this goes. It's something that doesn't happen in 1 minute. It's kind of a trajectory, right? And when we talk about the difference between burnout and moral injury, what we are saying is, burnout, when you talk about burnout, looks like you are talking about you not being strong enough, is you failing the system, you not being smart enough, you getting lazy, right? You are not as, yeah, I don't know, quick as you should be. But the reality is that burnout is happening in very high performers and very educated people and very smart people and healthy people. So what we are suspecting is that this chronic stress that in many cases is caused by moral injury. So moral injury probably is the trigger and burnout is the manifestation. Moral injury is suffering abuse from a system or being in a position where you are separated from your values and you don't feel proud of what you are doing. And just one extra comment. Yes, what you're saying is true. Right now, burnout is part of the list of medical conditions. Physicians, we use the ICD-10 or 11 to codify medical conditions. Burnout now is considered a medical condition.
Thank you so much. I think that's important distinction and clarification for our listeners because I think the term burnout is being thrown around, right? It's like, I had a bad day, I'm burned out. You know, it's there's even memes about being burned out. I think I have my own meme sometimes, but it's really around, you know, what is that moral injury? Was there something that triggered it? Did something specific happen? Or is it being around prolonged stress or a workplace or anything that kind of pushes down on you and is oppressing you, right? From your inside out. Jackie, you and I have talked a little bit about kind of the personal implications of moral injury, of burning out. You've been so gracious in sharing your story. Can you just touch on, you know, briefly the impact that moral injury burnout had on your life? And that was the catalyst for you to found Health at Work. You've talked a little bit about what you do, but what was that heart work or that heart trajectory that led you from, you know, wanting to make a huge difference in other people's lives after your experience?
Yeah, so coming from the corporate world and having the opportunity to reflect on, I did not know when I launched it. So let me step back. Like when I launched Health at Work, the intent was how can I build knowledge that I have collaborating with experts like yourself and Miriam and into building empowering people with knowledge so they can be advocates for their health. And at the same time, being able to change, to impact healthcare solutions, how healthcare is delivered from its source. So that's how it started. But to be very honest, the awareness that years of, I love how you frame it, moral injury. To some extent, and on yourselves, right? And that misalignment between your purpose in life and your actions. That's when I look back, because now it has been more than a year since I launched Health at Work. It was a path of healing. It's a path of how can I help others so they don't get to a point that you are overworking, still achieving, checking the box, building strategies, helping your teams, but you are not allowing yourself to get into a point that you start detaching from things that you love doing. So that's how Health at Work started. I'm a data-driven person. I love developing things from the ground up. And it was a natural way for me to help others, right? On their own stories of burnout. So it's like it's a platform that not only empowers employees to advocate for themselves and their health, but also encourage providers to innovate and tailor their services to real-world corporate demands.
I love that. I love that all of us on this call today took our experiences and not only are healing as we're building, but we're building the bridge as we're crossing it, right? And I think that's a really important distinction of I have met so many incredible healers, women, you know, people who have suffered from burnout, moral injury, whatever you want to call it, who have really felt this deep wound personally. And they've been like, okay, what can I do to make sure that nobody else feels like this? And I love that power that we have on this call. So thank you. I'm curious though, and just taking this a step further, as you're healing, so as you're bridging the building the bridge as you're crossing it, healing as you're building this new program, platform, and in your case, Miriam, a practice, you know, what are the biggest ahas that you have learned? Let's just go with this past year, right? It's been a years of healing, I think, for all of us. And congratulations, Jackie, on your anniversary of your company. But what have you learned? So if I have a woman that's right now listening to this podcast and she's on a walk, or she's got 10 minutes in the car, which is pretty obvious for most of us, right? Or she's on the treadmill, or a man listening to this podcast as well. What would be your biggest aha that you'd like to share with them today as they're listening and tuning in and they're just like, I'm burned out. I don't care if it's burnout or moral injury. Like, I just need some help. What would be kind of your number one thing and theme that you would say to this person if they're listening right now? Miriam, let's start with you.
Oh, the first thing that I will suggest is if you recognize that you need help, congratulations. That's the first step for healing. That is amazing. Be proud of yourself. Because being able to recognize that we are in trouble, that we are not feeling well, and accepting that is sometimes we recognize, but we kind of like we are selectively blinded to that situation, right? We deny it. Having the inner power to accept that we are suffering or that we are not in the place that we want to be takes a lot of emotional intelligence, self-awareness, and courage. So since you are there, great, you are in the right place right now. Now go to the next level, and the next level is ask for help. And asking for help is not weakness. Asking for help should not be embarrassing. Asking for help is the biggest demonstration that you want to get better, that you do not accept to be a victim of your life or the circumstances, and that you are here to improve, to heal, and to do amazing things for yourself and for others. So be proud of yourself. And if you are not there yet and you are not self-aware yet, take a few minutes today when you go home, when you are in your bed, when you are lonely, and ask yourself, is this the life that I want? Do I feel proud of myself? If the answer is no to one or the other, please reconsider because we all deserve better.
That's beautiful. And that's so true. I think, you know, the recognition that it's actually happening, right? And quieting your mind or quieting your external world first to even start hearing those signs. I know for a lot of the women that reach into me and even my experiences, I was getting in car accidents. I would slip and fall. I'd have more bruises. I was moving very quickly. And the universe was saying, stop. They were putting literally objects in front of me to say, stop and slow down. And I just kept bulldozing and I just kept hitting that gas. So taking the time and stopping and pausing is really important to even hear your inner voice. And then I love what you said, Miriam, on asking for help. Now, I want to be real, because I'm a very direct person, as you know. Did you ask for help? So your internal instinct was, I need help, right? I'm hurting. You knew you were hurting. But how long did it take you to ask for help? And what was the final catalyst? Because, I should have asked for help like probably 2 years sooner. So what actually drove that? Because I think it's really important for our listeners to hear. It sounds great to drink more water and get more sleep and do all these things. Ask for help. If it was that easy, we'd all do it. So let's get really real. What does someone need to do? And what was your final warning sign?
I didn't ask for help as a good physician, right? I thought that I am a superhero, that I have everything under control. I neglected myself and, in some way, my family. And I truly started my path to well-being, not for me, but for others, right? The typical altruistic. So I engage in training about burnout prevention and well-being with a physician that was coaching other physicians. I didn't know that part of the training involved me to receive coaching, something that if I will know in advance, I will not accept. By the way,
Yeah.
you asked me to be sincere, Arby, and the training was for 6 months. It was month four, and finally, I saw everybody in those calls crying. We were like 10 or 12 in the group, and I felt so empathetic, and compassionate about others, and so lucky that this is not happening to me. Until one day, I have no idea exactly what happened. I don't know the trigger, but I start crying, and finally, my coach, my mentor, told me, finally, we were waiting for it. Now you are ready to heal.
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's very hard. I don't want to underestimate the difficulty, especially if you are a high achiever, especially if you are in a profession that is altruistic and where you are a servant leader. We are always thinking about others instead of ourselves. So seeing the darkness inside of ourselves is something that we are blind to that. But we need to do it.
Yeah, that's so
Especially
beautiful. That is so
if
beautiful. I was talking to a woman a couple of weeks ago on my podcast who, was saying that she didn't recognize she was trying to help someone else. And then based on the therapy that she was trying to do to support another person in her life, she was like, wait, that's me too. And so it's really interesting that those of us who are empaths are recognizing that in others, which then provides the self-awareness for us. Jackie, I want to hear a little bit from you. What has been your biggest lesson as far as recovering and healing from burnout or moral injury? I know you said that you were really drawn to helping others and trying to make sure and build a program, right, that would help out the community and you love data. But what's that data point, right? For those analytical folks who are listening right now, what is that data point that was like, okay, I need to move from my head to my heart?
All right. So, and I will build this in two parts. Okay. So, the learnings from Health at Work and launching well-being consulting and working with different individuals and clients in twofold. One, collaboration comes and help comes when you're authentic. So, I was very transparent what I wanted to do with Health at Work and like empower people, reshape health. And that's like, it's amazing how healthcare workers, industry leaders jumped into people that has been knowing me as an actuary, as a, let's say, employee benefits expert, a business developer, jumped on it because they believed they wanted to help me help others. So authenticity, and that leads to collaboration. Number two, there is no such a thing as treating people by body parts. Mind and body are one, right? You cannot separate one from the other. So I said, not to sound cliche, it's health at work, work at health, meaning your health impacts work, your work impacts health. So separating the two and looking into different chronic illness, like which are driving most of the medical costs from cardiovascular disease to diabetes, obesity, all of it, all of those different conditions have like an impact on your mental health and vice versa. The second part, and it's hard for me to build from Miriam because she already kind of built the what would I tell others, right? My learning lessons on this journey. And I would just, if you were on that moment that you just don't know, something is weird is happening with you and you're just feeling very uncomfortable, I would say recognize the feeling, right? That you were, it's a signal. Feeling overwhelmed, it's a signal. It's not about how many hours you work. It's just telling you that something on the environment, on yourself, needs to change. Acknowledge, take a pause. And it doesn't mean that you stop working. It just means that you're giving yourself the permission. I think that was the hardest part for me. The permission to step back and then reassess if your needs without really judgment. So you mentioned about your coaching last year, Miriam, or a few years ago. I went through CCT, which is like compassionate, cultivating compassionate training, which was amazing part of the learning journey. And the other point that I would say is when we think about help, it's find people that, like the three of us, that are truly engaged into uplifting you, being honest, being transparent. So start with people you trust, right? And that they may not be therapists, or they should not be a therapist anyway. But if you happen to need a coach, if you happen to need additional mental health support, mental fitness support, keep that in mind, seek help. Don't, like, if you're feeling you're getting stuck, that's the, I would say, the yellow or red sign for you to take action.
Love it. That was beautiful. I love what you said about, you know, life is health and we're, you know, being interchangeable, right? There is no, especially with the pandemic, we're our whole self at work and at home. And those lines have been so blurred. I happen to think that in a lot of the ways the pandemic was helpful for us as a society, right? Certainly it had its challenges, but it was definitely a key indicator for something's got to change in our life and mentally what we need to do and how we need to reshape the world. I think holistically, you know, I think through, you know, again, as people are listening to this today, you know, these are true tools. And this is really good feedback for them to say, ask for help, reach out to someone that you love and care about, get some additional support, whether it's therapy. I'm just curious, though, what has actually helped to help people who are struggling with burnout or moral injury? What is actually working in the industries? What are you seeing? You guys are all over LinkedIn. You're very, very busy. I know, Jackie, you have this ongoing newsletter and post that's absolutely incredible from people around the globe who are saying, this is what I'm doing. This is my feedback. This is my knowledge. You know, is there hope, right, for people who are really in that dark space? And what's actually working, right? We talked about recognizing that you're struggling, asking for help. But what are some innovations that are happening either in your ongoing world or globally that you're hearing? And I just want to, I know it's hard to pick one, but Miriam, I want to hear from you. You know, what is an initiative, something that you've been a part of? You know, what is actually collective happening in the world to address this major, major issue?
I believe that number one is awareness, is the fact that we are talking about something that was taboo before, right? We will not talk about our mental health. We will not talk about not feeling well. Forget about, I will quit my job, right? I remember when I quit my job, I had people celebrating. That will never happen a couple of years ago, right? It will be like, what are you doing with your life? So I feel like awareness came also with a change in culture that we are slowly activating and sharing with others, which help us to be vulnerable without being afraid of necessarily receiving, being discriminated or being hopefully retaliated, right? For that's number one. But I believe that the second level for me as a physician is divided into three aspects, if you want to. One, I will leave it to probably Jackie. I believe that you will be better than myself to talk about this. That is the system, right? I mean, we need to change the system. The system is broken, not only the healthcare system, but the system where we are living, right? The world is broken and we need to change the system, the culture. But there are two other aspects. There's one is, yes, we are suffering. We have been living through challenges, but we can find hope, that's the word that you use, and I love, through our purpose. And you ladies repeated something, and you will hear this again and again in other individuals that are doing similar things like myself or like you. And of course, if you go to back to my book, you will find these stories again. Is people that goes through challenges with a mindset that is not, I am a victim, I don't deserve this, but instead as, how do I learn from this? What I can get? Who can help me? Who can be part of my team so I go out of this one? They are not only able to be resilient, meaning bounce back to their baseline, but they develop growth. And post-traumatic growth, and I always in my mind believe that burnout is synonymous of trauma, chronic trauma, right? So burnout, if we see burnout as trauma, we could see post-trauma, post-burnout growth. And it's our choice to take that decision. Are we seeing this situation as our stop, or this is a path that allows us to see life in a different way and to develop the skills that we need to keep going and to improve ourselves and become better versions of ourselves and mentors for others. So that's what we are doing right now, right? We went through all these things. We didn't stop. We just paused. And now we are trying to help. And that's what keeps us alive, purpose. The second thing, and again, as a physician, I cannot neglect the physical aspect, right? Burnout comes with changes in your body, your hormones, your the equilibrium of your neurotransmitters that are the ones that help you to sleep, to eat, to relax, to think, to process. So don't think that just doing, and I want to be respectful with this, but doing only yoga or doing only a diet or only mental fitness or having a therapy will be enough. It's great part, if needed. It's part of the combination, but you need to make sure that your body is healthy because you cannot do one without the other.
That's so important. And I'm so glad you mentioned that piece, Miriam, because, you know, there's so many people that think drink more water, get more sleep. Yes. Working on the psychological pieces, but the actual physical body has broken down. High blood pressure, fatty liver disease, people are drinking too much, people are eating high fat processed foods. You know, it's the swing of that cortisol, having four cups of coffee in the morning, and then they're wired, tired, but wired, right? And then they're drinking themselves basically to death with a bottle of wine, watching Netflix. How many times do we hear that story? And it got especially viable based on the pandemic, right? And the loneliness factor, because not only were people burned out or suffering from moral injury, they were falling apart from the inside out psychologically and physically, biochemically. And then to top it off is they were lonely. When you say ask for help, you were stuck in your house with your dog or your cat or, you know, your spouse, or you're alone. So I think that's a real, really important piece is get your labs done, get your labs checked. You know, what's actually happening with you chemically from the inside out? And sleep is a huge piece of that. So thank you for touching on that.
And Jackie, I'd like to add something that I believe that is important because more and more we are seeing many professionals in different levels trying to promise things regarding burnout and how they will fix you and et cetera. My sister, who is a positive psychologist, was actually sharing that she was reading a book about the effects of, you know, doing incorrect things in therapy, right? Because those things may happen. So make sure that when you ask for help, you ask for the help that comes from a professional that is really certified, that has a background, that is serious, that you can have appropriate references. This is not the time to reduce the investment that you do in your life or in your well-being. This is the time to make sure that you are in front of the right people to team up with you so you can recover control of your life. Be sure to do your research because right now, again, burnout is the same that obesity. Everybody wants a piece of that cake, but not everybody is able to really cut that cake in the right way.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And I think the other piece is, you know, which I constantly am beating this drum is, if it takes you 10 years to suffer from moral injury or burnout, it's going to take you longer, if not, to recover. It is not a shot of Ozempic. It does not cure all wounds. And it is a, I'll say, to be honest, and I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts, it's a frustrating, rigorous, internal process to recover and heal from burnout and ultimately moral injury. It is years of healing, and you need the physical and the psychological. And to your point, I think Jackie earlier, is you have to be in an environment where it's fostering that ongoing prevention of moral injury and prevention of burnout. I know specifically in my role now, going to specific organizations and teaching and training and providing feedback to teams about how they can keep their employees healthy from the inside out. There have been times where I've been like, PTSD, PTSD, you know, going back into a hospital after experiencing collapsing in the hospital due to extreme burnout and exhaustion. PTSD. So I think that that's the piece is people have to understand that it is such a long process to rewire those old patterns behavior. It is not just an overnight, you know, healing option. Jackie, I'm curious for you, you know, in looking at one of the things that you can do specifically for your group. I know it's empowerment. I know you're providing a big stage for people to collectively come together. You know, what have you learned from that? From your work that you're doing and involving all of the collective minds that you're pulling together, what is, talk a little bit about a bright spot that you feel hopeful about after all of the information that you've been receiving, because you're kind of a collector of all of these experts.
Yes, yeah, I'm a lucky collector of insights, and again, it all builds stories that can help others. Allow me to go back to answer your question. So, your initial question, what I see working. Part of my prior job on a very large global corporation was to review and vet healthcare solutions, right? Built from within. And one of the gaps that I saw over and over, and this goes back to the last thing Miriam talked about, was evidence-based metrics. Like it was not easy to have, like to have the healthcare offerings built in a way that they could tell a story based on data to show what was actually working. So that's one fold. The solutions that I see being more effective, it's not just about empowering with knowledge. It's not just becoming aware. Those are steps, right? It's not just providing mental health care. It needs to be that collective of in terms of learning, right? When I did like both the health at work focused on mental fitness at work, and now recently a very deep dive on healthcare workers' burnout. What are we doing, right, with the system again? It was that data-driven approach to look from end to end. What are the root causes? What are the healthcare workers telling us that the root causes are? And how to really look at business models. Culture, it's not one thing in isolation. Business models, culture, technology, and AI can help, but you need to have the problem for AI to solve. And then care. Like one of the aha moments for me when I was working on the burnout piece for healthcare workers was one of our conversations, Miriam, when you shared with me that different from the corporate world where leaders are setting examples and asking their employees to care for their mental health, on the healthcare side of the house, it's still treated with stigma. That was like, this is not like, it's so conflicting. You are caring for others, but you're ashamed if you cannot care for yourself. So that's like, again, it's data-driven, evidence-based. That's this holistic, really looking into the problems you are trying to solve as opposed to throwing solutions. Employers are fatigued of health of point solutions. You need to find a way to really bring something that will drive impact for them, for their employees, and that's measurable. And to your point, has Mirion has solid and firm quality of where it's coming from, right? Where the help is coming from.
I love that. That's beautiful. Thank you. I love what you said specifically around those data-driven insights. I think one of the things that I've been doing in my work is asking leadership teams to share data, claims data. How many of the leadership team, how many of the physician team are they on high blood pressure meds? Have they developed diabetes in their practice? Looking at people's medical claims, blind medical claims. I'm not saying I'm looking at Miriam's and she's got diabetes and Jackie's got, you know, high blood pressure, but it's looking at the claims, medical claims for your employees across the organization to determine what's our low-hanging fruit, and then bringing those population health solutions into the clinic to provide seamless transitions.
That's how Health at Work started, looking mm-hmm. into claims and medical data, like on the data side of the mm-hmm. house. And globally, not just in the US, globally, you can identify what are the top health risk concerns. Mm-hmm. One word of advice, again, mental health, while it's like, it's a could be a comorbidity or a driver. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to see how it's evolving time over time, how it's impacting different teams, right?
Yes.
That
yes.
tell a story.
I want to add, if you allow me, I believe that global, this concept of using global information is very important to start the project. But at the same time, what you were saying, right, you go to the company and you see what is happening there. Right, we need to understand that we change the company, just the building or the floor in the building, and you will have a different story. You will have mm-hmm. different humans, different type of leaders, different type of pressures, right? And if you go around the country or you change from one type of profession to another, right, from a hospital to a school, so the experience will be different. And I feel mm-hmm. like we, in many cases, when I review protocols for well-being, right, especially in certain hospitals, that they believe that bringing a dog every 6 months that plays with the residents, the medical students, the residents, an ice cream party one time per month, and one party or time out to go and play golf is well-being, right? Because seems like a great protocol and a standard, and there are not metrics in at the beginning, no metrics at the end. Nobody mm-hmm. asks the residents or the doctors what do they need really, and if they care about the poor dog that is coming to play with them or the ice cream. So you ask yourself, are we treating the patient correctly? And I see global systemic burnout, exactly as a patient, you need to think about the uniqueness of that group, the specific characteristics. You need to have baselines that are created by the company and the ones that you create by yourself when you survey this group. You need a specific goals and you need to have metrics at the end to prove your point. Mm-hmm. And this process is exactly as a quality improvement project, right? Where you have times during the process that you need to stop or pause, better, and analyze if what you are doing is working, because mm-hmm. work for everybody else is working for that group. No,
yes.
Well, I redirect, right? So this is not one protocol for all. And that's, again, when we need to trust that you hire a team that is high quality, well-trained, that will do this in the right way. Because let's clarify, burnout is life or death.
Mm-hmm. In some cases, for sure.
49 individuals died by suicide last year in this country. Mental health affects 1 in 5 in this country. So when we are not doing the right things, and in medicine, this is kind of the law number one, regulation number one, do not harm. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand that certain things that we are doing will be harming some people, especially the most vulnerable. This is not just, I go and I try to do my best, great for you. But there is a responsibility behind that. And there is a life of people behind that responsibility.
Yeah, that's so well said. I want to just end and close today by saying, you know, again, you're a physician, you're taking a lunch, or you're working past your 40 minute time with your patient, and that patient needs that extra time, or your administrator sitting in your office, and you know that your staff is burned out, but you're not quite sure what to do or even where to start. I want to start with you, Jackie. What is your call to action for our listeners today? If you could say one thing to them and leave them with something that they're thinking about, what would it be?
Treat every interaction you have with someone else with the intention of doing good. That's it. It's if you set your daily motivations, what you want to accomplish in the day, and but more importantly, with every interaction that you have, I talked about authenticity with boundaries, but more importantly, make sure that you don't assume that you know what's going on with others on their mind. And you really take like every single conversation as a way to uplift someone else, right? As changing the system.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think when it relates to, mental health, you don't know how someone's doing. And even if they say fine, we always get nervous when someone says fine. It's like probe a little bit deeper. And then the other piece that I would add, just on top of what you just said, Jackie, is be kind and generous to yourself, right? And really look and treat yourself with some kindness and empathy as well, because we are hardest sometimes on ourselves. Miriam, take us home. What would you say?
Truly protect yourself. I mean, you don't go to work to be abused. I'm sorry, if someone told you that, that's wrong. It's not part of your contract. I don't think that there are small, tiny fonts there telling you you should allow your boss to, abuse you. So we all deserve respect. We work very hard to be where we are. Doesn't matter your career, your position, your salary. We deserve to be treated as humans. And we deserve to feel joy in whatever we are doing in our life, especially in our profession that takes probably 50% of our time when we are awake. And if that is not the case, ask yourself, is there anything that I can do to make this better? Is there any contribution? Is there any way that I can help this culture to improve? There is something that I am not doing right that I could do better. And if the answer is yes, go for it. But if the answer is no, or if you try and you fail, plan B. What else I could be doing that will make me feel proud of myself and will allow me to be the person that I want to be, the professional that I want to be, without hurting myself in the process?
I love that you're so direct, because Miriam, those of you guys don't know her, she's the kindest, sweetest person. But I think if anything, these two women, listen to these women, listeners, because these are women who have been through burnout and moral injury, and including me as well. We want to make sure that you don't experience the same thing we do. And I think it's really important to be an advocate for yourself, but at the same time, allow yourself some grace and speak up, use your words and ask for help ultimately. So thank you both for being here today. It is such an impactful conversation, such important work. I am truly, truly blessed to be around change makers like you, people who have experienced a dark moment and really, like you said, Miriam, turn that darkness into light. So thank you both for being here. I will drop your information below in the show notes in the chat. Feel free to listen to this episode, share it with a friend, but really appreciate your time today and for sharing your gifts of well-being to the world.
Thank
Beautiful.
you. You are really making this world a better place.
The same.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Burn Brightly podcast. If you're here, you're probably pretty familiar with the sensation of being burned out. But where are you right now on the burnout scale? If you've been feeling like you're burning the candle at both ends, I have a free quiz that can help. You can get started at www.sheshatters.com/quiz. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and don't forget to leave a review. I'll see you next time.